This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
I'm an investor in an outdoor air purifier company called Prawn. And some of the target market are nervous about implementing outdoor air purifiers or even indoor air purifiers like what you guys do because they know there's a problem. They know the air pollution's pretty bad and they'd rather turn a blind eye to it. And the moment you come in and say, oh, we can help run a pilot. We can let you know how the air quality is. No, don't go there. I don't want to hear it. Because the moment I hear it, now that I hear it and I know about it, I've got an ethical and legal duty to do something about it, right? And so it's so easy and tempting to just cast a blind eye and you don't want technology there because the technology is going to create more requirement for or is going to create transparency. And then what the hell are you supposed to do when the report comes back and it shows that the air quality here is at a dangerous level? You can't be like, great, let me show this to everyone and think there'll be no consequences. Now I have to actually do something about it, right?
So for companies like Clarify and Prawn, you would say the biggest sales accelerator is to go to a summit and say this on stage in front of a lot of those guys. So they have the obligation to do something about it.
I did something like that myself once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in a different industry. So my startup that I founded, for viewers, just for context, the mobile industry was taking off, and I decided that I want to start an advertising company in mobile. And I built a company that was basically showing video ads on mobile phones. But the user experience was really bad, and I wanted to change that. And in order for advertisers to work with you, you have to follow standards. And these were called the IAB standards. And they're standards with regards to, you know, you have cookies and how your ad shows. And I hated the standards because I felt like, you know, they don't address the issue of user experience and consumer privacy. So I was invited to a panel. Okay. And just so you know, everything ends well. My company sold for $780 million. And, you know, it was a wild ride. And it's given me the, you know, I'm very grateful for the experience because it's allowed me to be where I am today as an investor. But, and, you know, I want to do things now in prop tech because I see similar parallels. I'm in an industry panel, okay? No one knows what my company does, and we're pretty early stage. And I've been invited to this very prestigious panel with literally 1,000 people in the audience. And you've got all the king makers on the panel. And the moderator of the panel, I'm not going to say who it is, because it was kind of an embarrassing moment for everyone, including myself, okay? she, and that's all I'll go as far as saying, was the CEO of one of the biggest companies in the advertising space, okay? And she asked the panelists a question. And on the panelists around me were all traditional people, the people I was trying to disrupt, right? Because I'm this like startup trying to change the mobile industry. She asks, what's holding our industry back? Oh my God. I mean, I hated the advertising industry. And I felt that my panelists and the moderator were the problems in the industry. Just like you
went for the slam dunk. I cannot imagine anything else then.
You know what I said? I said, moderator, you're asking me what's holding our industry back? It's you. I paused and you heard a gasp like, and I was so passionate. You know, I said, it's people like you. It's people like my fellow panelists. It's people who are in the audience, right? Who are taking user data, who are being dishonest with their advertisers, right? Who are just delivering terrible ad experiences. That's what's holding our industry back. And until we change, literally, I got cut off, I swear, you know? And the moderator was bright red, and I think it was pretty inappropriate for me to have done that, right? But, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, and you know, I'm unemployable as a result because, you know, I've got a chip in my shoulder and I want to change something. And you know, I said that. Obviously, people later came up to me like, not congratulating people, like, how could you say that? You're never going to be invited again. I was never invited again after that, by the way. Just so you know, our company grew to such a scale in companies like us that these advertising agencies, failed. Many went out of business and their valuation multiples declined. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes it's frustration that causes you to remain committed to your vision. Sometimes people ask me, why are you building this company? And it wasn't like I wanted to go make money. It was like I hated the advertising industry. It annoyed me. At an ethical perspective, it bugged me. And that's why I built my company. And that's why I tried to change the advertising industry. And we made a dent and made a lot of money doing so. You can make money and do good things. In your case, I don't know how you sleep at night. You know, in your case, Felix, if your product isn't out there, people are breathing in bad air. And, you know, it must feel like, I don't know if you agree with me, but I can imagine it's hard to sleep at night knowing that if your product is implemented, the world will be a better place. Lives will be saved and you can quantify that. And right now you can't even quantify it because the infrastructure doesn't exist. Do you feel that? Do you feel that sort of responsibility and pressure? Or is there a different motive? Are you just in this for the money? That's a softball,
no.
Obviously.
No. I do believe that, yeah, it is hard in a way that it's indeed true that air quality is a topic that's been neglected for such a long time. And that was going back to like earlier frustrations that we talked about in this chat is something that's still present in a variety of ways. But I do believe that things are going towards a good way. So there is a possibility to make sure that your air quality is in a better state because you use the right data to verify that on a day-to-day basis and are able to adjust the circumstances to it. So in that way, it's very promising right now for us and it's very motivating. But despite the intrinsic motivation here, I solely hope that this is going to be something for the long run because I'm actually quite optimistic about the whole healthy building sphere as in general, and not just air quality, but also the other aspects that come along with it. I think we go towards a new state of living in that sense because health is a factor which has not been looked at in such detail previously in a lot of ways, but now it's kind of the first time in real estate that it's been really put on the spot, really on the spotlight here, and it demands a certain change. And yes, it does bother me that there's in plenty of spaces still shitty air and students not being able to function and having troubles with air quality as a whole and not being aware of what kind of effects it can have on your body. I mean, just if you look at CO2, for example, CO2, we breathe in, we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out CO2, right? But people always think that there's too little oxygen in the room. Well, it's more about there's too much CO2 in the room. Well, we are rarely aware of it. And there are multiple studies indicating that the effects that CO2 has like on your brain is directly causing cognitive impact if it goes above certain levels. Hmm. So the way that you're able to make certain decisions, the way that you're able to keep your focus, the way you're able to get satisfaction out of your day is influenced by the air that you and I are breathing. So it has in so many different ways an effect on our daily life that I envision that there's so much room for growth and change. And that really encouraged me also to keep going.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. The thing is, when technology allows us to quantify an impact, then we have the justification to do something about it. As long as you can trust the data and the integrity of the data, then people can make the right decisions. It's very hard to go invest in something if you can't prove it. I mean, in the advertising industry, we brought transparency. When you invested with us or when you spent money on our platform, we would tell you exactly how much revenue you generated from the users that we sent you. In the same way, if you can understand, if I implement this and I'll improve my air quality by X, That's powerful. And then if you can go further and say, an air quality of X is hazardous and here are the health implications, I think 20 to 50 years from now, we'll be able to quantify the effect our outdoor environment has on our indoor environment, inside of us, I mean, so our external and internal. If we could quantify, like, here is the actual damage I incurred as a result of exposure to radiation, as an exposure to a bad air environment, right? You will not understand how did we survive and live before this, you know? In especially children, right? When you're going through this period of development, we don't even understand and appreciate how fragile the brain is and how trauma at such an early age of any sort, whether it's air pollution or anything else, can impact development. And if we can...
Well, there was a... To go into that, there was a study that I read a while ago. It was from Barcelona, and they were doing research on how outdoor air was affecting children in primary schools, right? Oh, okay. So they studied on different locations in wealthier and, well, poorer neighborhoods, what the effects were of the outdoor air quality on the brain development of children. And it was actually quite significant that when the outdoor pollution, which also ended up inside because of natural ventilation, for example, got to children exposed on a daily basis, it had significant impact over time. So it is really a thing that you're describing right now that's already happening and being looked at from a scientific point of view. But maybe the general acknowledgement and presence of this kind of news still needs a little push forward.
Yeah, that's why I think if you could quantify it, if you could have in the future, and I said 20 to 50 years from now, there will be technology that will allow you to quantify the exact impact. And I also think, and we're getting into sci-fi to some of our, you know, audiences, but I believe in this. To me, it's as reality as, you know, I know my name is, right? Like nanotechnology, for example, will be so powerful, you'll be able to undo the damage. But I don't believe undoing the damage is a solution. I think prevention is better. You know, like don't cure the symptom, cure the root effect and stop it. You can stop it by measuring it and changing it before it gets to a point where there's a problem. So nanotechnology will be so advanced. And nanotechnology is powerful already, but it's a long time before it's adopted. Because there's a lot of regulation and ethics and still technology breakthroughs needed, where you will be able to undo damage in your body, you'll be able to reverse some of the bad effects of aging and pollution. And until then, though, I think if we can quantify and understand, you know, I injured this area of my brain by this much and I can see it, right? And I can very clearly associate this pollutant with this damage. If you can quantify it to that level, that'd be nuts. That'd be crazy, you know? And I think that's one thing that will happen in the future. And you guys are one of the key infrastructures needed in order to get there, which is why I was excited to bring you onto the podcast. So yeah, this has been a pleasure. Do you have any final questions or things you want to share with the audience or questions you want to ask me?
Yeah, what you're saying right now, what you're describing about quantifying the actual pollution into the finest details on what it has an impact on people, their health and productivity, that's like really our big, hairy, audacious goal that we are working towards to. So the fact that you're acknowledging that indirectly here as well is like really, really cool. And I hope that this talk is inspiring other people who are working in the same industries as we do to move forward. And feel free to just contact me. I hope to be able to share my contact details as well.
How can they reach you?
They can reach me. They can go towards clarify.io. It's C-L-A-I-R. There's an R in it. I-F-Y.io. You can fill up a form in it. Yeah.
Clarify. C-L-A-I-R-I-F-Y, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
.io.
.io, absolutely. All right. Well, this was fun having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zane.